Rural areas are some of the last places to get high-speed internet access. Decades ago, they were also the last areas to receive electricity. Back then, the federal government set up cooperatives to help rural residents pay to install poles and lines to every farmhouse. Harvest Public Media's Seth Bodine looks at how bringing broadband to rural communities might be more complicated.
In Okemah, Oklahoma, Wi-Fi hotspots are in demand. The public library got 6 of the T-Mobile internet hookups in 2018. The waitlist was months long before they eventually got more.
It was a constant battle to get people off that waiting list, and we don't have that problem now because we have so many.
She says logging onto the web is important for the town of 3,000. It's not just for kicking it and watching Netflix. Internet access means jobs.
And nowadays, most employers are requesting you fill out online applications for jobs, and that's difficult for people because they didn't have access to it.
For most people in cities, it's just a matter of calling up the local cable or telephone provider. But right now, 1 in 5 people in rural communities like Okemah can't do that, according to the Federal Communications Commission. It's not so different from the situation with electricity nearly a century ago, when it was available in cities, but not small towns or farms. For families, that meant hand-washing clothes and working by the light of a lantern. An old documentary showed how lack of power could hurt a farmer's pocketbook.
It's hard to cool milk right in August if you haven't the right sort of pump or equipment.
The milk is sour, so the handler gives back cartons and the farmer loses money.
Sour milk, good for pigs. But the milk check won't be so big this month.
The solution to all this? The Rural Electrification Act. It gave low-interest loans to rural communities to form rural electric co-ops. Then they'd set up the electric lines and poles. It'd all be paid off in 30 years through monthly electric bills. Rural broadband faces the same basic challenge as electricity. For-profit companies don't want to invest. Hamid Vahadipur is the CEO of Lake Region Electric Cooperative, which provides broadband.
In rural areas, you can have less than 10 customers for every mile of fiber optics that you have, where in town, that number could go as high as 50 or 70 customers per mile. So it is difficult to provide this kind of service.
Bringing broadband to rural areas is more complicated than electricity. One of the reasons, there are already some providers, but they don't always provide truly high-speed access. Co-ops are interested in providing that service, but the cost might be too high even without the need to make a profit. Cooperatives share the cost of building broadband, just like they did when they built electricity. Chris Myers is the general manager of the Oklahoma Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives. He says the bills might be too high for smaller co-ops.
That cost might be $500 a month. Well, I don't know that people can afford that. And that's just a number. But just to break even, the cost would be so high that it'd be a problem.
About $4 billion a year have gone out to telephone companies to get them to expand broadband. Tom Wheeler, the former chair of the FCC, says it didn't work.
It wasn't working because we still have this huge swath of rural America that doesn't have access to broadband.
Instead, Wheeler says building broadband infrastructure needs to be handled more like roads.
Build it once and pay for it and go home, instead of this trickling out of money to companies that were basically telephone companies in the hope that they would expand and build broadband.
The FCC estimates it would take about $80 billion to bring broadband to every home. Between Biden's proposed infrastructure bill and CARES Act money, experts like Wheeler remain hopeful that it might happen sooner rather than later. Seth Bodine, Harvest Public Media.